Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Windows on the World. Yes, same time every day this week and probably for the foreseeable future. I'll be on RBN. So do call in, join the show. Always great to hear from listeners to RBN. We're coming to you from the UK. Have a very interesting guest today who runs a very interesting website. But yeah, we're going to be talking about, well, I suppose the most important thing that's happened in the UK is that people can go shopping again, and they are queuing up with their masks on 6 feet apart to go and buy more crap that they don't need. Well, that's my opinion of it anyway. I've seen the BBC website, read it and weep. But we are going to be talking about things of slightly more importance. The Great Reset. Do you know about this? The World Economic Forum. Well, yes, the Great Reset is at the moment, and we are going to be working towards this big conference in Davos. Yes, it's all about the fourth industrial revolution, which is an actual fact on the back of the fourth world wilderness, a thing that we've talked about over the years. Now, the fourth world wilderness is the wilderness of the mind, a globalist created new vision of the world. And when you look around yourself, you can see the wilderness of the mind everywhere. The wilderness of the mind. The wilderness of the mind is basically in all of these fake protest movements. It's in the education system, and it's been implanted into the minds, into the hive minds, and it's also the big communitarian plan. And all that and more on today's show. Yeah, the beneficial crisis of COVID-19 has paved the way for the rapid implementation of sustainable development. Yes, if you don't know about that, it came out of the Rio summit in 92, and it implements every part, it implements itself into every part of your life, rather, and in all public policy. But the UN Agenda 2030 and the fourth industrial revolution are what we're talking about here. The statements of the World Economic Forum are quite interesting, actually, because they have this online meeting. So go and have a look at it on their website. Interesting. We've got His Royal Highness Prince Charles there, and he has been given a sustainable development word salad to repeat, just like the rest of them on there, which is Charles Schwab, who actually started the World Economic Forum, I think, about 1979. We have the head of the IMF. We have all the movers and shakers. But it says here that the statement made by the IMF and the World Economic Forum are supported. Well, if you didn't, you need to find out, because they have 10,000 agents of change in cities all over the world. So they're talking about the agents of the World Economic Forum, the change agents, what we could call the useful idiots, the implement is already there, already in place in 10,000 agents all over the world, so-called by the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. Yes, are you global citizens? Happen, and we have been covering that on a lot of our shows. But the role of virtue signaling, it's off the charts. The volunteers, the virtue signaling volunteers in their artificial rooms of trivia. I think I've got a bit of a problem with the sound, so hope. But yes, the global citizens in the global community are interconnected, and this is the word that we keep hearing. Yeah, they're all working for the same goal, from the far right to the far left and everything in between. From Black Lives Matter to Extinction Rebellion, from Occupy to Antifa, they are working inside what we call the system of moods. There is actually something for everyone. Climate change, identity politics, collective causes. The globalists, you see, need the anti-globalists to fund and steer them. The anti-globalists need the globalists to fund and steer their protests, you see. The anti-globalists then implement the policies of the globalists. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about all that today. And meanwhile, yes, shops in the UK are opening up with very daft rules. I'm going to welcome our guest for today, James Allard from OYE News, which is a UK-based website. And I think James is in France, but obviously the website is international. Are you there, James?
Yep, I'm here. Hello.
Great, yeah.
So yeah,
I'm just losing my sound a bit. Sorry about that. Yes. Just losing my sound a bit there. So first of all, tell us about your website. When did you start it, and why did you start it?
Okay, so it was, I set it up back in 2012, basically as somewhere to just let off a bit of steam and try and put out there some of the news that kind of gets lost in the news that's kind of wanted to be seen by everybody, or they want you to see, should I say. So I'd kind of cover just articles. I did a lot of kind of reports on vaccinations and that type of thing originally, and just trying to get news out there that people weren't seeing, that, you know, that I felt needed to be seen. And it's kind of just grown from there, really.
Yeah,
I have a tendency to do a lot of ranting on there.
Yes. Well, it's actually very focused now, I find, because I like your articles, because with this stuff, I like to keep it very simple. I like to try and delineate exactly what we're talking about here and get straight to the point. And I like short articles, which is why I like your website. And I've known about your stuff for quite a few years through Facebook, I think, really. I think that's where I first saw it. And we've been in touch over the years. So because I'm doing a show every day, it's great to have lots of different sort of independent perspectives all kind of working on the same areas. I find this a very important thing, because there's people out there in the so-called alternative media who sort of get on shows all the time, but they're saying pretty much the same thing. So I never want to be preaching to the choir. I'm always trying to bring in new things. So yeah, the protests, this has been the big thing in the last few weeks. And we've been reporting on it, probably covered every angle of it. I've been looking into these funded protests for a very long time, since the days of Occupy, when George Soros took that over. And from then on, they've all been a template. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about the People's Assembly, which is where they bust people in. They had their day out. They were all well behaved, because this was all part of an operation. And I was working on a television station at the time called The People's Voice, and I actually managed to interview one of the people who was one of the main organisers of this People's Assembly. And it was all done, obviously, to keep people safe. They get given their placards, they get given their causes, they have a day out, and then they get bussed home, but don't think the way the whole thing operates. Now, we've seen a kind of ramping up of that recently with this Black Lives Matter, which has been going for years and been totally discredited, by the way. Black Lives Matter is basically another arm of sustainable development and global governance. It's nothing to do with human rights. It's to do with a big distraction issue at the moment. And of course, in the UK, they've set up the far right, which is basically anyone that opposes the globalists. So anything that opposes globalism is all of a sudden far right. And this came out of the intelligence services. It came out of MI5 a couple of years ago when Mark Rowley, the then head of MI5, resigned. He said that the new threat would be the growing threat of the far right, which they created. So, yeah, have you got anything to say about that, James? Because you've been observing these protests and you're in France. So let's just... Yeah. Give you a bit of a comparison. How does the Black Lives Matter stroke Antifa globalist protest compare with, say, the Yellow Vests?
I think it is a very different situation, to be honest. I'm not saying the Yellow Vest movement isn't infiltrated, because I believe it probably is to some degree. But the French people are upset. I mean, that's clear. You can see it in the small towns and villages. I mean, they're kind of pushing this because there's so many regulations here in France. I mean, you can't do anything, basically. There's a law for pretty much anything and everything. And they've just had enough. You know, and the French, they like to fight back. It's just what they do. It doesn't matter what you tell them, they'll want to fight the other way.
I think this is interesting, James, but that's really why I brought it up, because the Yellow Vest thing was very authentic. People were getting genuinely injured by the police. I mean, the police were really over the top there with these flashballs and the violence that was sort of started against the protesters. But yes, I did see within the Yellow Vest some kind of infiltration, but because the movement was so big, it didn't really kind of dissuade anybody, did it? The protests just kept getting bigger, And in actual fact, I don't think the infiltration worked. Whereas with this Black Lives Matter and Antifa, basically their protests are infiltration. So that's the delineation I wanted to make there, because we're talking about something very, very different. And I was quite heartened when I saw what was happening in France, because I actually despair at what's happening in Britain, because people are so compliant and they seem to have become so dumbed down in the past 10 years that I'm almost ashamed to say I'm the same species. But with the French kind of interpretation of, you know, protest, I was quite heartened with that. And I do keep in touch with a few people in France about what's going on. And yes, it's a slightly more sophisticated view of the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, I mean, you notice it. Coming to France for the last, I've been here for about, I don't know, 9 months. And you notice it, looking back at what's going on in the UK, it's kind of shocking to see how subservient everyone is to, you know, doing what they're told, basically, and going the direction that they wanted to go in. They just, the government or the media say something and they jump. Whereas here, it's kind of the other way. They kind of, if they're told to do something, they try and do the opposite. And what was interesting about the French protests is the fire brigade. Now, in France, the fire department is funded by the people. It's not done through the government, so it's more like a charity. So they were on the side of the people, which is quite an interesting setup, because they used the force of the fire brigade to help the protesters. And it's just very interesting to watch in comparison to how it works, how a protest works in the UK, which is generally, you know, stand outside Downing Street with a little placard.
Yeah, exactly. They have the protest given to them. That's the whole point. I've been talking about that a lot on shows recently, that basically they're given their protest and they don't even notice that they've been given their protest. You know, I mean, this Black Lives Matter thing is so absurd. But we had a thing called the Women's March, and I think it was just after Trump got elected. And they were protesting that Trump had got elected, but for no real apparent reason. You know, the reason was that he was sexist. You know, I mean, this is the kind of identity politics trivia they bring it down to. So in other words, in Britain, the real issues never get heard. I mean, it's never really about what the core issue should be about. It's all about distraction. So the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa stuff in Britain goes hand in hand with the deep state, and it is part of the deep state. I mean, what we find here is that organizations like Antifa and those affiliated with Antifa are actually openly supported and facilitated by the state. This is quite incredible. But when I saw the sort of footage of what's happening in France, you could see the sort of black clad, mask wearing Antifa type rent-a-mob. And they really stood out, because you had people of all ages there. So I think that was what was interesting to me about the yellow vest thing. And what I really liked about it was it's every Saturday, relentlessly. Is it still going on?
Yeah, they've started back up, I believe. I think there was one, I'm not sure if there was one just weekend past, but the weekend before, I'm pretty sure they're out again. They just keep on going.
I think it's absolutely fantastic, because what happened was that it's dropped off the radar with the UK, but I was watching it, I think RT, Russia Today, had a feed there every Saturday, and I was noticing it. It was interesting that the media spin on it wasn't really working, whereas with these protests or so-called protests that we've been having in around the world, really, this Black Lives Matter, and especially in America, then you can tell that these people are just entitled and they've been told to go there. Now, I'm not saying there's not violence and stuff going on, because there is, but these things are always exploited. I just find the social engineering aspect of this more interesting than anything, and the entrainment of the public. This is what really has shocked me, though, the lack of resistance to what's going on and the lack of ability to actually think about what's going on. And I think, really, this is the crux of what people like us in the alternative media, the so-called alternative media, are finding so shocking, because you're getting people who you thought may have known better absolutely falling for this, and you give them information and they sort of refuse to hear it. And I think this is really the product of the big society, communitarianism. It started here in the UK in 2010. David Cameron announced the Big Society. Then what they were talking about on the World Economic Forum website actually happened in the UK. They trained at least 10,000 change agents straight away, probably hundreds of thousands by now, through organizations all over the world, community organizers, the same as Obama did in America. And these people became these communitarian change agents who were put into every form of public office. So you get these people parachuted into these positions, and the people in this country, in the UK, don't realize that the whole of the infrastructure of the country has been remanaged, reorientated, and taken over. And they still think that if they go to a council meeting, and it's going to have some effect. And this is a huge problem in the UK.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I just thought you'd want to come in there, but it's...
Yeah, sorry, I thought I'd lost you, because the sound's been breaking up a little bit.
It's
a failing system in that respect. I mean, they still go and... They think, especially in England, I've noticed, they assume you can go through the normal procedure and get a result that's democratic, because in the UK it's a democracy, so therefore the systems in place are obviously going to give you a democratic conclusion. But it's just not. You know, the conclusion to every problem is always of the interest of large corporations and the deep state, and that's how it works.
Yes, but...
How they can't see this, I don't know.
London. In Haringey, North London, for instance, Lendlease took over 52% of the infrastructure. And it's interesting, actually, because when I started looking into this, it was stated by General Konstantin Petrov, who went to the Rio conference, and he also attended the Johannesburg conference in 2000, I think it was. This is, of course, the big Sustainable Development UN Global Governance Conference. We had the Rio conference, of course, in 92, which kicked a lot of this stuff off. But there were previous conferences going back to Earth Day in the 1970s. But it's all the same kind of template for this global governance. And it was interesting because he said that after Rio, nothing really happened. But by the year 2000, the major banks and corporations had made an ultimatum and said, we will look after the livelihood of everything that affects people if you give us undivided control of all the infrastructure that affects the livelihood of people. And you can see how that's happened. And it was a creeping thing till about 2013, 2014. Then it rapidly escalated with the Agenda 2030 plans. And now, of course, this COVID-19, this beneficial crisis, has ushered in a raft of the sustainable development plans. I mean, it's incredible. It's furthered the agenda within 3 months more than I thought would have been possible in 2 or 3 years. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sped the whole process up. And now talking about this great reset. I don't know if you've seen the video on the World Economic Forum.
It's very, I have indeed.
It's very emotional piece of... basically filming. They basically got footage of everything they've created, which is, you know, the spraying. It looks like spraying at one point across nations, and fires, which is, it's all created by them, but they're delivering it as a kind of how the state of the world, as if it's a natural occurring events and where human society has led itself naturally to. But and then they've got their resolution for it, which is the Great Reset, which isn't what you might think.
Yeah,
again,
it's
talking about
it?
Greener and smarter and fairer.
Greener, smarter and fairer. That's what they say. That's the mantra.
Yeah.
Repeated by Prince Charles. This is Windows on the World. Coming to you from the UK, my guest today is James Allard. We'll be back after the break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm Mark Windows, coming to you from the UK. Special guest today, James Allard. I'm going to be here every day this week at the same time. 12 a.m. Not 12. Well, 12 p.m. really. But yes, I'm here with James from OYE.news. Is that your website, James? OYE.news?
Yeah, OYE.news. That'll get you there. If you've got a fact-checker blocker on your browser, it'll probably flag it up, but I've already done a little article on that, because pretty much everything they've talked about in the I've been picked up by a couple fact checkers now, but if you actually read them, everything they pick up on is actually wrong. So I did a fact check in the fact checker.
Well, it's incredible, isn't it? You've got Snopes, and then you've got this Open Society fact-checkers. And, yeah, they don't actually address the facts. It's interesting because the BBC had a similar thing. They had this thing called Reality Check. And when it came out, I actually did a reality check on their reality check. And they had put out so much misinformation over the years. And they actually faked this Syrian chemical attack. That was exposed, actually, on RT. But you can see how they actually changed what someone was saying to say napalm. They actually manufactured the whole sound and re-edited
it. Yeah, they fabricated the whole piece. I saw it, yeah. They denied it. They still denied it.
I know. So the BBC have really lost a lot of their viewers. I think 860,000 in the last year or so, I've cancelled their TV licence, because you have to have a licence to watch the TV in the UK, everybody. Not that many of us take it very seriously, but some people get worried because they have a private company called Capita knocking on their door. And then if you let them in and they see that you've got a television and you've not got a license, you then sign a form to say that you've done something illegal, and then you get taken to court. Well, who would be stupid enough to sign such a form and go to court? Well, believe it or not, there are people that stupid. But yes, there are people stupid enough still to watch the BBC. But yeah, it's quite interesting, actually, because there's a huge backlash against the BBC in the UK. And they are practically being defunded by the public, which is a good thing. But I do check their news items because, yeah, you get these things that are meant to have been fact-checked, and they're absolutely ludicrous. Like James, you were just saying that when you actually check the real facts, they don't add up. And what they do generally is they bring in a kind of distraction issue, and they don't actually identify what the piece is really about. They'll use some ad hominem attack, which is completely bizarre. And I suppose that it's because the BBC has become so dumbed down that they don't feel they have to try anymore. And I think that is why they're losing. But yes, they reported over the weekend there's somebody has been jailed for urinating next to a kind of plaque for this PC Palmer who was killed. I can't remember the year now, but it was like this memorial plaque, and this fellow was urinating by the side of it through the railings into what looked like a garden, and he's been jailed. He was actually identified. But the thing about this is it's all about demonising these people as though they're far-right thugs, you see. And, of course, anybody who's against Antifa is going to be a far-right thug who urinates in the street. And this is the narrative that they actually go for. But what was peculiar to me about this, and it ties into this sort of communitarian-type law, in other words, if you're against the state, then you are fair game, you are the enemy, and we don't have to prove you did anything. Well, basically, they've locked him up for 14 days, but the actual offence of that urinating in the street is a £45 fine. So what we're seeing here is people being made an example of, which is what we talk about with this system, this communitarian system, the way that law has been basically usurped. And I've actually suffered at the hands of the state in this respect, with people that I know being attacked by these Antifa type people. And it's actually affected me as well. We've actually done several articles on it. But yeah, you find that you're outside the narrow voice of accepted opinion. And that is a real problem in this country. And it's something that we've reported on quite a lot. But what did you think of this, James? This kind of trivia of this guy being sort of imprisoned for urinating next to the plaque that he was said he was actually protecting?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, let's face it, how often do we see a man on a Friday or Saturday night peeing up against the wall in, you know, outside the pub? It's something that happens millions of times every weekend, and you get maybe an on-the-spot fine or told to move on, and that's about it. It's not nice, but is it a jailable offence? No, it never has been before until now. So you have to ask, why is it a jailable offence now? And it's just to go with, you know, the current narrative, you know, is what people want to see as well. I'm sure there's lots of people out there cheering on the fact that far right, as they would call it, protester is peeing up against the side of a statue, which he was protecting, but allegedly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just ridiculous. They just kind of adjust it to suit their needs.
Yeah. They have an organization in the UK called Britain First. And it's meant to be like a far-right organisation. It's a bit of a clown show, in my opinion. We'll get back to that after the break. That flew over. Yeah. Windows on the World, do call in. 800-313-9443. I'm with James Allard from OYE.news. And we're discussing the general trend of what's happening in the UK and beyond.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus? for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Windows on the World, just warming up here. Yes, this is the new time for Windows on the World on RBN. Got special guest today, James Allard from OYE.news, a great website, actually. Nice and simple. This is what I was talking about earlier on. I like websites that really lay things out in a clear way, and there's plenty of them doing that. We've talked today a little bit about our mainstream media suffering in the UK, the god-awful BBC, which has been practically defunded by the licence payer, which is a great thing. They actually started to take down some comedy shows recently, and also Netflix have been doing it, all part of the big virtue signalling for the Black Lives Matter kind of social engineering, entrepreneurial, sustainable development exercise that's going on. And they've actually... they took down a British comedy called Fawlty Towers, which had John Cleese in, who was part of the Monty Python team, which was this sort of English surrealist kind of Oxbridge comedy from the 70s. And really, there was a backlash against that. So I think they've left it up. But the BBC is actually virtue signalling, politically correct central. And they have been absolutely... really behind Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They've been promoting it as though they were an advertising service, a bit like they do with Bill Gates, of course, but Bill Gates has thrown them quite a few quid. And also the BBC are funded by the European Union, and that's a problem. Just before the break, we were talking about some of these so-called far-right groups in the UK. We have a character called Tommy Robinson, and we have this organisation called Britain First. Tommy Robinson's been a bit quiet. His name's actually Stephen Yaxley Lennon, but obviously Tommy Robinson sounds a little more like it would appeal to the people who were his target audience, which is the sort of white working class who are disenfranchised. And all of this, of course, is engineering. But, I mean, there was a great documentary. It's called Panorama. And actually, even Tommy Robinson exposed the BBC, exposed John Sweeney of Panorama, and left them absolutely embarrassed, which I thought was at least worth doing. So that was something, again, which was worthwhile, because I'm not a great fan of the BBC. But yeah, they've been talking about this Paul Golding, and he's part of this Britain First movement, which is a bit of a cartoon type movement in a way. It's a kind of what the intelligence services would call a far right sort of British party. And they've done things like parade through town centres holding crucifixes to antagonise the Muslims. They're basically a divide and rule type organisation. But they went down there, or Paul Golding went down there, with a group of people to protect the statues in the centre of London. Statues of these so-called war heroes are being defaced, and they want the Cecil Rhodes monument pulled down. They've gone to Oxford, and they've been as far as Bristol, taking down the statue of Edward Coulson, which they threw into the dock there because he was a slave trader. So there's this kind of standoff now where you've got their people in the British Army who are looking after the statues. I think the paras were up there the other day and they were protecting the statues. So I don't think Antifa would go anywhere near them. But this Paul Golding basically said that he was there to protect the statues. Next thing is, he's far right and a thug, you know. It's quite interesting. So I'm protecting the statues. Oh, you're a far right thug. Antifa are destroying the statues. Well, that's progressive, you know. Yeah, we were talking about that in the break, James.
It's insanity.
So yeah, give me your thoughts on that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous on both sides. I mean, the statues, were these people immoral people? Yeah. Were they immoral by the standards of the time? Probably not. I mean, by the population standards on their opinion of them, they probably hailed them as war heroes. And in the time of someone like Edward Colston, he was probably thought of as a great man. You know, he helped build a lot of Bristol's architecture and did a lot of things. But yes, he was a slave trader, which is bad. But you can go, how far back in history do you go? I mean, I wrote an article on this yesterday. At what point in history do we say, you know, you could go back to ancient Rome. Should we go and tear down ancient Rome because they were the biggest slave nation ever in history on the books? Do we take that down, or is it a part of where we came from? Should we look at it as an educational monument for today?
Well, exactly. It's
where does it end? Where does it end?
Context. There's no context.
Yeah.
So, in other words,
context.
They take things out of context, you know. This is the point that I think it's a major point, that the rewriting of history is what this is all about, and the destroying and the destruction of history. Really,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not a great fan of Winston Churchill. We all know about the manipulation. Anyone who reads about this stuff can find out about it. But the point is, it's a huge distraction issue. So there's a statue of somebody in a town somewhere. What the hell has that got to do with what's going on in the world now? Nothing, because we're facing the biggest crisis in human history, and they're worried about this sort of thing. So the mere fact that that's brought up means that it's a distraction issue. So they lead these people into these pointless and time-wasting, energy-harvesting kind of agendas, and they actually fall for it. But yeah, I think it's quite interesting, this difference in the way it's reported, because they've got this stupid narrative of everything outside the accepted corridor of opinion has to be far right. It's absolutely unbelievable that they use something this simple. But I think we are talking about, you know, a very simple engineering program, because the people who are falling for it are basically very, very easy to lead. I've never known anything like it. I mean, I don't know how old you are, James, but I mean, the people of my generation, people I remember sort of from years ago, a lot of them have fallen for this stuff, which has really surprised me. But at least when I was kind of going through the phases that these people who joined Antifa are going through, it, I would have actually had a bit more critical thinking than they are displaying. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I've noticed it as well in my generation. And I mix a lot with the libertarian movement in America, and there's quite a few there who kind of fallen for the, we should take the statues down. And like I said, I don't really care if they're taken down or not. I'm not overly fussed, but I feel a bit like it's lack of education. Is all of a sudden they've been made aware of these statues and made aware that, oh, I didn't realize that this person did that, or it was only 100 years ago this type of treatment was being put upon people. And I think it's that lack of education prior to this that's made them kind of jump up on their high horse and believe we need to take them all down, because they're not thinking rationally. It's, when I look at a statue, we traveled through France last year, and you come across many statues in the little towns and villages, and I never look at them and start, worshipping them or thinking they must have been great people. You generally look at a statue and think, oh, I bet they've done many bad things. Well, that's at least how I've always looked at these things. Because you generally don't get a statue made of you unless you have done bad things. Because the truth is, if you're a powerful enough person to have a statue made about you and be in such a high place in society that they make a statue about you, you've generally done bad things. That's true for the past and for the present.
Well, it absolutely is. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, again, it's all about context. And yeah, yes. I sort of nominated the statue of Henry VIII to be taken down, the one in Smithfield in London, just outside the old London walls. And I think about that period of time. And I like to look at history. I like to look at periods of history. And this is a huge problem with people these days, who they don't look at any history at all. I've been doing a lot of research into the 1500s, the burning at the stake of martyrs, and I'm making a film about it. But that whole period of history is something we can learn from, because we've got a technocratic dictatorship now. Then it was the Roman Church, but it was doing a pretty much the similar thing, but in an even more barbaric way. So what we've got now is we have a sort of velvet glove, but there is still an iron fist inside it. And I think that this is the main thing I notice, is the unreality of everything, the post-truth world. I've talked about this quite a lot, in that people don't have any reference to anything, and that is exactly what the aim of this global agenda has been all about. It's been about the destruction and the management of the past to create this kind of present, which is basically the wilderness of the mind. Have you heard about this wilderness of the mind? Did you ever come across that?
I haven't, no. It's the first time I've heard about it, actually, the wilderness of the mind.
Yeah, it came out of the Rio conference in 92. It's there.
Right.
It's a kind of Pangea, a borderless Pangea. That's basically what it is. It's a borderless world, but it's also a world without conflict or thought. And the whole idea was to mentor people into a situation where they wouldn't have any reference to anything. And I think that we're kind of there, aren't we?
So basically what they would call a utopia, which, is a false dream, where it's borderless, there's no conflict, there's no war. It's just kind of flat lines.
Exactly. Yeah. I suppose we should get on now to the second wave, because this is something that I've been anticipating. And they're talking now about September, October, but they're actually also mentioning that when football matches start again in these big stadiums in the UK, that not only are they going to have Black Lives Matter on the back of their shirts, but people are going to have a special certificate to get into the stadium. So we can see where this is going. The immunity passport leading up to ID 2020, which is going to be basically biological ID, biometric ID. Go to biometricupdate.com and read all about it, But they're now talking about this. So this is a further control that's coming in. And they're already socially engineering the football fans. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I did hear about this. I think we'll find this happens to any public event, to be honest. I would say once you've got something like these biometric IDs in place, it'll even be used for nightclubs and everything. Once it's easy enough to just literally scan it with an RFID scanner or something, it'll be used everywhere. I think that is the general goal, not just for whether you've had the coronavirus, but for anything and everything. You know, have you? What's your past criminal records or your how any other health records that maybe, you know, maybe need to be taken into consideration depending on what you're doing or going. We'll see it for flights and airports, travel, borders. They're already talking about it for air travel, aren't they?
Absolutely, and it's something that, that's something that really disturbs me because I do like to travel. But all this was actually talked about in this document, which I can't sort of verify its authenticity, but it was called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. And I was just looking at it. I was actually reading a bit of Bill Cooper's book before the show, and there is a reference to all that in there. And I think what's interesting about looking at documents like that, there have been several, I mean, looking at all this Rockefeller stuff and all the stuff about the pandemic, is that you get a good insight into the methods of social engineering. And this was all talked about in that Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars document. Quite interestingly, exactly what you've just said was being talked about when that document came out, which was 40 years ago, I think, 30 to 40 years ago. And yes, that's always been the aim. The aim is always further and further control. And yeah, I think we're up against a bit of a kind of resistance here now. There's a resistance forming because there's people I know who are, you know, they're talking about getting mandatory vaccinations and they're talking about refusing them and starting to start legal action and all the rest of it. But yeah, that is the thing that concerns me most, is that this implementation of the forced vaccination, but as a beneficial idea, and that is what we're seeing all over, that the mainstream are pushing that like mad, and I get sent so much stuff on this, it's quite incredible, but that is the way it seems to be going. So yeah, when do you think the second wave will start? Have you got any ideas on that, if indeed it does?
Well, I mean, just looking at the news at the moment, I mean, Beijing, there's articles coming out of Beijing about they're worried about the second wave. Beijing has traced dozens of new coronavirus cases to a major wholesale food market after almost two infection-free months. So they're starting to get concerned. Spain, although if you read the article, that doesn't seem, in my opinion, doesn't look like there's any concern, but the headline is Spain heading towards a second wave? Same out of New York, is a second wave coming? I thought it was interesting in New York as well. You've got the articles coming out with a tick that is transferring a COVID-19 type infection with the same sort of symptoms, which is just coming out of New York as well, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, what's been going on in the hospitals there has been really disturbing. That nurse who was reporting about the COVID deaths there, that was extremely worrying. Yeah.
I mean, I've had a lot of backlash about, because I posted that on Facebook, yes, and there's been a lot of backlash off a group of people claiming that she's not the genuine nurse that she claims to be. But from what I can see, it's just because she's been part of a movement last year, which I can't remember the name of the guy, but he has been exposed as a kind of scammer. He set up this march, which was basically to fund money for his own lifestyle, and then he's done a runner. But she was part of that and allegedly in a relationship with him, and she was part of the anti-vaccine movement, so therefore she apparently has no credibility. But to me, that doesn't really change the facts of what she recorded and what we saw in the video. You know, it either happened or it didn't,
because it was their word.
Exactly. So I don't really see, and she even said most of the nurses are good intentioned, they just feel trapped. But there's a lot of nurses coming out saying she doesn't know what she's talking about. Nurses are, you know, would never let that happen. They're good people. But she never said they weren't good people. She just said they were trapped because their jobs were at risk if they spoke out, and, you know, they were always fobbed off and so on. So I think it was, I tend to trust, or at least I think there's something in it. And she's not the only nurse coming out and saying it either. You know, there's been other nurses saying exactly the same things that she said. So,
I think that's a good point. I've heard it from different sources as well. I mean, I've been researching this since it started, and even people that I know who worked in hospitals have been giving me very disturbing reports. But the thing is, James, that even before COVID-19, This was happening in hospitals. We had a huge scandal in the UK with the Liverpool care pathway, palliative care, basically withdrawing fluids and pumping people full of morphine until they die. Hey, we've got Pat in Texas. Are you there, Pat?
Yes.
Hi, Pat.
I'm going to come at you from a spiritual point of view here. There's a lot of talk about this here vaccine as the mark of the beast. The one you're not supposed to take in the Bible, you know, or else you won't get to go to heaven. Anyway, there's a guy named Gary Kaa who's worked for the government, and he kept it quiet, and he listened to all this stuff all over the whole world for years, and he knows that this whole thing has been planned, this vaccine has been planned, and it's called, he has it in a book, he's on the internet, you can go on YouTube. Gary Kaa, K-A-H, he wrote En Route to Global Occupation, and One More Religion, it's not like that. Anyway, he says that they had a plan called COVID 2020, which is the mark. They intend to give everybody in the world this vaccine. They're going to start with people who are UN refugees, and then they're going to tell them. They're going to tell them now, once you take this vaccine, you'll never get sick again. And then he's going to convince them that it's going to give them their own personal number, not him, but the New World Order, the UN, the people behind this whole thing, that you deserve your very own number that no one can ever steal. So that's the plan, to get everybody in the world their own number, and they're going to demand it.
That's right, like Pat. That. The UN say everyone is entitled to a digital identity as though it's a benefit and a privilege of society, when it's, in actual fact, it's an imposition. You're absolutely right. I agree with what you're saying. I believe all this stuff. I think we are in times which are pretty biblical. What we're seeing does seem to have been prophesied. But what we're talking about here is the ultimate control over people, which in a way is black magic, the taking of the blood, the controlling of people's DNA. These are all principles which go into very dark areas, and it's all about power and control, and basically corruption and the monetary system has kind of facilitated what's going on here. And really, that's the sort of stuff we've been covering for years. But the Agenda 21 principles of the UN Agenda 2030, and of course the World Economic Forum with the Great Reset, the World Health Organization, these are all partners, and they're all working together towards one aim, and that aim is control and management of everything on the planet. So is there anything else you'd like to add, Pat?
Well, they're not bigger than God, and if we let God know that he's in charge of us, and we try to do everything he wants us to do, and if he tells us I got to be perfect, you can't be doing anything you don't want to be judging anybody for, you got to be the same way, then God, I don't know, I never heard of the rapture before when I was 13, but it said God would cover us with his hand, and that's what I'm counting on. And thousands will fall at your right hand, but it not come nigh you, because we trust in him, because he's really in charge of the world, not those people. In fact, this prophet that was telling all about this stuff that's going to happen to America, it's going to burn like Sodom and Gomorrah, is that we got to repent to God and be sorry and suffer. We will probably have to suffer, because if you don't suffer, you don't realize it's important, and you want to tell everybody else you do not want to suffer. You do not want to go to jail. You do not want all this. So why don't you just give up to God right now, instead of talk about everything they're going to do to you, and kind of, in a way, confirm it in your own mouth they're going to do it to you. I know that sounds real positive thinking, but you know what? If it happens that way, it'll be a tough life, because we probably aren't ready to take care of ourselves anymore. And those that won't, 90% of us dead. They couldn't take care of themselves either. They don't know how. They spent all their life just conniving.
Well, yeah. Exactly. That's. Did you want to come in there, James?
Well, yeah. I don't tend to look at things from a religious perspective. However, I do. I mean, the Christian community specifically, they often get things right. I've got to be honest. I may see things in a different way, but based on the same idea, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
A lot of what they say, I think you can associate, like the, you know, give everyone their own specific number. I've heard that. And I would say that's probably in connection to like a cryptographic number, which is unique to every single person. I mean, they've talked about putting everybody on the blockchain, basically. So you're interconnected through this kind of cyber technology system where every person's got a unique ID, and then through the Internet of Things, everything can be kind of, the world can be kind of made for that individual.
God told David not to number the people, and he numbered the people, and God asked him, what punishment do you want? Do you want to follow my mercy, or do you want, you name your punishment? And he said, your mercy. 70,000 people died overnight. David's people died overnight. So if God didn't like us being numbered back then, why would he want us to be numbered now? He doesn't like that.
This is all about the natural law of the universe as well, really, because that's the real thing. I think most people intrinsically know that something like that is wrong. But we've got a lot of very brainwashed people, Pat, because when we talk about this artificial intelligence, these people are completely mad. You can't have artificial intelligence. It can only be as intelligent as what's programmed in, but that can't be intelligence. Intelligence is a field of energy. It's something that we have.
Gary Carr, he does believe that those nano things they put into you with the vaccine will cause you to suffer at the hands of 5G or 6G, whatever, that you're going to be specifically suffering. And so,
I've looked into all this, and the actual direction it's going is what you're saying. That is the Internet of Things, artificial intelligence. When you hear people like Ray Kurzweil and what Google are doing and what Facebook are doing, and I study a lot of these artificial intelligence companies, and they've been working behind the scenes at controlling narratives that people have no idea they're controlling, all in the background, and it's quite incredible. I think we've run out of time. That's a real shame.
Thank you.
James, it's flown over. Thanks
that
a
was
lot,
quick.
Pat. Really like your points there. And yes, remember, I looked and there was a pale green horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following after him. They were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, by famine, by plague, and by the wild animals of the earth. So, the fourth world wilderness. Yes, we're in interesting times, to say the least. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to James from OYE News and Pat.
Thank you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.